This is an Enterprise Times podcast. I'm here with David Stevens, Chief Revenue Officer of Rootstock. David, hello.
Hello, Steve.
When you look across your customer base, what trends are you seeing from a technology perspective within the manufacturing industry at the moment?
Well, we see a number of trends. Some of them we would classify as fundamental or strategic trends, and others that we would see as value-driven trends. The strategic and fundamental trends would include moves to cloud technology to enable some of the value-oriented trends, also trends in the areas of business process automation, platform technology adoption, in addition to that being of a cloud-centric focus. That value process automation obviously focusing on areas that technology is offering today, for instance, IoT, other adaptive cloud technologies.
When you say high-performing technology adoption, what do you mean?
Where we see cloud technology adoption from a strategic perspective within a manufacturer, it's really enabling the manufacturer to move past the closed systems that represent most of where the legacy market is today and move into more open systems to allow manufacturers to connect internally more freely with knowledge-based workers, connect externally to customers, to suppliers, which open up opportunities to improve on a business process basis the value realization of the technology.
What are the barriers or perceived barriers that manufacturers are seeing at the moment to adopting cloud?
On the strategic side, it's taking the leap in many cases. It's really realizing that the value is there to warrant the risk and take on that new adoption and that new technology. The time and the investment obviously is part of the consideration as they look to make that fundamental shift to the cloud. As they get in and they make that early adoption into the cloud and they realize the potential benefit, many times the next challenge is, where do I take that next step and focus on realizing benefit and then come back into that same cycle of, okay, how do I leverage the technology to take that step?
What kinds of value are they actually seeing? Because it's sometimes difficult for a CEO of a manufacturing company to say, well, actually it works on premise. I can see it. I can touch it. I can feel it. It's there like all my other industrial machinery. I don't trust this cloud out there. So what are the kind of values they need to see?
Within the connectivity side of cloud adoption, it's tougher to link legacy systems, if not sometimes impossible to link legacy systems real time to a connected supply chain. So the ability to take a fundamental cloud technology platform, place ERP, which is the backbone of your business system as a manufacturer, inside that cloud, and then openly connect that cloud with proper security and access to customers real time, that's just not possible with legacy technologies. So the real time nature of being able to drive toward market trends, customer responsiveness, real time customer reply, and responsiveness is part of that value proposition. On the other side of the supply chain, with vendors and logistics partners and other trading entities, the challenge remains the same. And that challenge is driven from the front end. So as I'm trying to create a customer engagement platform and have my internal systems and the external connections of these internal systems as a manufacturer roll to the supply chain, I need that same real-time concept to enable me to do that. So in order to connect those vendors to that customer demand, I need to have that real-time connectivity to drive that supply chain. And again, that cloud technology without interruption, without a legacy connection, without an interface or an integration provides that immediate responsiveness.
What's exciting you in this space at the moment?
In my role at Rootstock, it's looking forward and seeing the opportunity that we have ahead of us, both in terms of our customer opportunity and obviously from a Rootstock perspective, the opportunity to meet those customer demands. The adoption within cloud technology for manufacturing as it relates to concepts like ERP and IoT and cloud platform in general has been a relatively slow transition process, but we're seeing the escalation of that process. We're seeing greater than doubling year-over-year growth in adoption from our customers. From Rootstock perspective, that's exciting to us. From our customers' perspective, we think what's exciting is the opportunity for them to realize these benefits. When you look at the competition in the marketplace for most manufacturers and the pace of change as it relates to that competition, the ability to respond to that is really what makes this a really truly exciting opportunity for manufacturers.
You've mentioned IoT a couple of times in there. What are the applications of IoT? Because there are several. Are you seeing that manufacturers want to adopt?
So first of all, we've seen, just as a kind of high-level response, IoT has been one of the toughest technology engagements for manufacturers to really adopt and realize the significance of incorporating IoT into their business process. While it has tremendous value proposition, we also think that the rate at which it's being adopted has been challenged by the effort involved in really, even up front, defining the business process. And like you've asked, how are we going to leverage IT? How are we going to drive value out of IT? And then realizing that. Classic examples within manufacturing would be connecting machinery and equipment in your production environments to your core cloud systems so that you can leverage that capability to inform your customer, to improve optimization, to provide feedback loops, to improve quality. All of those challenges that manufacturing organizations traditionally go after on a day-to-day basis. But obviously, by connecting those machines real-time to your technology infrastructure, you're providing that information.
Can you give me an example of that in terms of one of your customers who's actually adopted the M2M and feeding it back into customers as well?
I have two different examples. One of them's machine equipment related that's actually extending into the customer footprint. So we have an office equipment company that has a client that sells and services their clients directly. And not only are they connecting the configuration of their equipment as it's prepared to be rolled out to the customers, they're also connecting that on the back end to their service engagement. This is an organization that had a traditional service team of many, many people that took phone calls and responded to those phone calls. And those devices, through the assembly configuration process inside their own manufacturing as well as in the field, were not connected. But in today's marketplace, most of those office devices are connectable. And so as part of their Salesforce Rootstock initiative, this client connected every customer device in the field. And now the concept of having call centers staffed with many, many people has moved to the machines telling our client directly, what's wrong with me? Looking up knowledge articles, delivering parts to the field automatically through warehouse automation, not requiring any human interaction for that machine to communicate normal occurrence that happened every day that used to be human interacted to resolve to the IoT footprint in order to enable that.
Do you know what the impact on profitability for that company was?
In that particular organization, without getting into the specifics, it was 100% reappropriation of the resources that were previously dedicated to very manual-oriented customer responsiveness tasks.
What you've talked about in terms of IoT is deployment of sensors within the components and equipment that they are manufacturing. Are you seeing the retrofitting of IoT onto equipment on the manufacturing floor at all in terms of predictive maintenance as well?
Where we are seeing a lot of that adoption is around quality within our manufacturing customers. The speed at which they can get information regarding the quality of the output of the machines and be able to incorporate that in the process of responding to any quality issues during the process is allowing to catch any quality issues quicker and earlier in the process, which, as any manufacturer would know, is critical to reducing cost of quality and efficiency in delivering to the client. That's where we've seen some of the early adoption, and that's where we've seen retrofitting of machine capabilities to connect to the back office. Obviously, it's wide open in terms of the opportunities that our customers have in that space, but quality is one example where we do see specific retrofitting efforts.
Are you seeing any change in terms of personalization for products and that kind of move from B2B to B2B2C?
We see a significant amount of shift towards personalization. If it's a company in the past that hasn't been personalization focused as an offering to their clients, we see adoption of some level of personalization. That creates challenges that we think actually Rootstock has a really strong fit for in relationship to multiple customer demand types. I could be a make-to-stock manufacturer, a 100-year-old company, and have that business process nailed down. But then I have to respond to more unique customer demands in the market and competition that's drawing away those customers and stealing market share because of customization and personalization of products. And so now I have to maintain performance on the make-to-stock side of my business, but adopt a make-to-order or a specific build-to-order type of process to meet those customization requirements. So yes, we do see that. The other thing that's interesting is we see adoption of subscription-based customization. Manufacturers looking to adopt recurring revenue models with the combination of physical product and service is something that we see happening more and more in the marketplace. And that puts new demands on the business to not just realize the prior focus on productivity and cost optimization for physical product, but engage the service level aspect of the customer beyond the sale of the physical product, and also realize that as a reoccurring part of our business, that puts us at risk for losing that customer on a subscription or reoccurring basis. And we really have to up our level of service as a manufacturer, pay more attention to those unique customer requirements, and the personalization extends just not only from the manufacturer of the product, but also into the service of the product.
And that kind of service would be what?
Aftermarket service, warranty service. So previously I might sell a product that I would have warrantied and they could have returned the product to me, but I'm morphing to providing field service, preventative service. Again, going back to the example of the connected device, having the opportunity to get that feedback from the device in the field or the piece of equipment in the field, the system in the field, and respond to that proactively. Those are the kinds of services that are extending beyond just building the product, delivering it, and warranting. It's driving it into the field. And there are new revenue streams for manufacturers in that space. Many of those manufacturers see the technology marketplace and the shift to reoccurring revenue and understand that in the physical product space, that same opportunity exists.
We're seeing servitization across a lot of industries. And it sounds wonderful. I can increase all my revenues, I can increase my profits. Some people get it wrong, don't they? So are there any lessons that you've seen from people who've got it wrong that other people can learn from?
Change management adoption, both at a high-level business process perspective as well as in the use of technology, is really a big challenge for organizations. And we've seen companies not look at that holistically when they're trying to move toward a servitization model or a mixed-mode model, in particular with products companies. They don't realize the potential benefit that technology can play fully in that shift. It impacts on the business whereby they might have a higher cost model than they ever imagined because they're trying to move towards this blended servitization model, but they're not leveraging technology optimally in that process, and it's creating more demands on the business, more human effort, more cost than they had anticipated in the process.
What are you suggesting they should have done?
The broader evaluation up front of the right strategy and the right model for use of technology in their specific business case, in the instances I can think of off the top of my head per your prior question, are really the things that would relate to that specific challenge and how they could have done things differently.
In terms of IoT, IoT is quite scary for a lot of manufacturers. Are you seeing people adopting pilots first, or are they going more of a big bang approach?
Typically pilots. As a matter of fact, I just ran through my thought process in IoT. I think that one customer example I gave was a fairly aggressive approach to revolutionizing all devices in the field, but even that wasn't the whole of their model, and it wasn't necessarily all product families in that example. I would say definitely we're seeing a phased approach in that model.
Have you got any tips to how manufacturers should approach that pilot? Are there any steps they should take?
First of all, as with any initiative like IoT, any major initiative like that, you should really focus on where there is a value proposition. In most cases, the value propositions today are around customer differentiation. You need to think about the ways IoT is going to enable you to better serve your customer. You could certainly, as a manufacturer, let's say I've got a facility, a plant with a lot of equipment, and I want to automate that equipment for the sake of saying that I'm engaging in IoT. If there's no direct customer impact on that from a value proposition perspective, yeah, you've adopted IoT, maybe you have great analytics, maybe you've improved your process, but does it net out to a business benefit to your end customer? I would think that's first and foremost, and that creates a focus for you in the adoption and the phasing that we spoke about before. And then beyond that, it's really, as to some of my prior comments, looking at the strategy and approach you're going to use for implementing and making sure you're thinking about the entire business process impact and the customer impact, realizing that opportunity as you adopt.
And the costs one supposes of actually implementing the whole solution and the cost of the alternative as well.
Correct. And as I was saying early on, when we've seen IoT projects, it's not just what we've seen, but in speaking with other industry advocates around IoT and people with general broad IoT experience, that's an area where they have said that the cost impact, not just in terms of hard dollar costs, but organizational costs and process costs, it's been more challenging than they expected. But when they do it right, the value proposition's higher than they expected as well.
Coming back to change management, are there any challenges to people change that are specific within the manufacturing industry? Is it harder than some other industries?
I certainly think at a macro level, with the pace at which manufacturing tends to adopt emerging technologies, I think at a macro level, certainly there is. How you actually put a finger on exactly what it is about manufacturing that drives that tendency to be followers rather than early adopters in many cases, it's a little bit tougher. If you look at manufacturing versus other businesses, there's a multitude of different things that manufacturers face that maybe increase the complexity of change management. I've got people involved in that process. I've got real machines involved in that process. I've got capital and financial and pressures tied to that equipment or those business processes that come into the decision-making process. So I think that those are elements that drive some of that change. Also, typically, if you look at the aggressive manufacturers in this space, you have to look at where they fit in the consumer value chain. Consumers, obviously, on the front end of the market today are demanding more technology, robust, more solutions, more technology connected solutions. And if there's a retail and a distribution chain sitting in front of the manufacturer, and those are the first touch points to the client, typically from a time-based perspective, the manufacturer is maybe two or three phases behind the adoption and the pressure to adopt, if you will, from a market perspective.
You've mentioned about technology choice. Why would someone want to look at Rootstock?
The biggest differentiation Rootstock has as a manufacturing-centric ERP today is our technology platform. We are built 100% native inside the Salesforce technology platform. A Rootstock customer does not have to be a Salesforce customer in order to leverage the benefits of the technology platform. When you look across the spectrum of cloud technology and enterprise cloud technology specifically, Salesforce is clearly the market leader in this space. Obviously, they have a history of being known as a CRM and a service application provider, but in reality, their enterprise cloud technology, bar none, is more advanced, more capable, more robust than the competing products in the marketplace, and that's the core advantage that Rootstock provides. In addition to that, customers that want to adopt ERP within their business and buy off on the concept of Rootstock's technology platform as a differentiator and a multi-tenant cloud technology truly for the future, they need robust legacy technology from an ERP functionality perspective. And that's the other differentiator that Rootstock brings to the table is all of the founding members and the management team and the executive team that are driving the direction and the vision of Rootstock came from that legacy space. We know what the customers are demanding in that space from a capability perspective to run their business as a products and services or manufacturing-oriented company. And we've built into the products the capabilities that would be expected of a legacy product, but built on a true next-generation cloud technology. Platform.
What's most excited you in terms of the Salesforce announcements?
The concept of the realization that the marketplace is demanding a 360-degree view of the customer today really places additional excitement for Rootstock in that messaging, because while there will always be a legacy ERP market and a place for that space and the capabilities of Salesforce to connect to legacy ERP, it gives the customer an opportunity to really realize the potential of putting ERP inside the Salesforce technology platform as well and connecting sales and service.
Thank you very much, David.
Thank you.